Well, the lights are up around town. The stores are blasting carols, advertisements with a warm glow and promises of holiday magic are everywhere you turn. And yet I have heard a number of people saying they're not really feeling very Christmassy this year. Does anyone here feel that way? The culture makes this abrupt seasonal change sometime around mid or late November. And we suddenly go from late autumn with its grays and browns into full-on Christmas, with colored lights and jingle bells. It's like shifting from first gear into fifth with nothing in between. All of a sudden, we're confronted with the call to be capital M merry and capital J jolly. We're supposed to feel Christmassy somehow, which I think means sort of cozy and content and like all is right with the world. It's actually all pretty strange when you stop and think about it. And the older I get, the more I appreciate the fact that the church doesn't actually go from first gear to fifth all at once in December. If you are not feeling very Christmassy right now, that is no problem at all, because it's only the second Sunday of Advent. And somehow that feels just right. Advent is not a time for forced cheerfulness or sentimentalism. It's a time for slowly lighting candles, one at a time, for tending to our longing for a world made right, for recognizing the darkness pressing in so many places, and for walking in the light of the Lord toward the justice and peace that God promises in Jesus. We have some tried and true voices to accompany us in that long Advent walk this morning. There is John the Baptist, that wild man out in the wilderness, who is not chuckling, ho, 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 but hollering, repent, you brood of vipers. We have Paul calling us to remain steadfast and hopeful. And once again, we have the prophet Isaiah offering us a vision, a word for us to picture and hold close and maybe even carry along as a kind of lantern to light our way. This is one of the great images of the whole Bible, painted by countless artists over the years. The wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, the calf and the lion, the cow and the bear, predators and prey, resting, living, feeding side by side. Where the lamb previously knew danger and anxiety, there's now calm and safety. The picture here is of a creation that's utterly transformed, where no one need be afraid, where age-old adversaries are now companions. It is a world truly and profoundly at peace. Don't bother asking whether it's realistic. That's not exactly the point. Isaiah is offering something more than realism here. It's a vision of God's heart, a glimpse of the sort of thing God is driving toward all along. It's an amazing and powerful image, otherworldly almost, and yet it begins with something that's far more ordinary and far closer to home. It begins with a stump. We have one right in the sanctuary, in case you haven't noticed. In the woods behind my house, when I was growing up, there was a large stump, maybe half a meter in diameter, the base of an old tree that had been cut down long before. We always thought of it as sort of the gateway into these woods. Nothing grew there, so it was a kind of entry point into the thick undergrowth beyond. And that's what a stump is, right? It's the mark of a place where something used to be, the remains of something that was once alive and growing. A stump just kind of sits there, a reminder of what was, lifeless and static and unchanging. This past week, I read the story of a famous tree in the UK. It was new to me, but maybe it's not to some of you. In the north of England, along Hadrian's Wall, a tree grew in this particularly dramatic spot, right in the dip between two hills. Nothing else dots the skyline there. It's an area of rolling green countryside, so this one lone tree, 15 meters tall, cuts a particularly beautiful form against a clear blue sky. It got itself a name. It came to be known as the Sycamore Gap, and it became famous as trees go. making its way onto postcards and calendars and guidebooks. It became sort of a destination in that part of the country, a place for a hike or a picnic or for speaking wedding vows. Its 200-year-old branches reached wide and tall, and its steady presence inspired countless visitors. And then one night in 2023, about 2 years ago, two young men made their way to the tree with a chainsaw in the dark. And when a park ranger made his rounds the next morning, he found this beloved tree cut down in an act of utterly senseless vandalism, its body thrown hastily to the ground. And again, maybe some of you heard this story. It was kind of big news at the time, covered by the BBC. For many, it was an occasion for real mourning, the loss of a beloved living being and a piece of national heritage. Where there had once been this strong, ancient, and beautiful tree, there was now nothing but a stump. The story helps me enter Isaiah's image a little bit this week, because this prophet and his contemporaries knew plenty about great, living, growing things being cut down. They knew about the line of kings, beginning with David, the line that they imagined would continue forever, cut down by unfaithfulness, and conflict, and war. They knew about invading armies, cutting down lives and communities and nations. They knew about hopes and dreams and plans being severed. And when that happens, you are left with a sort of flat stump, a reminder of what once was. My guess is that you each, in your own way, know something about great, living, growing things being cut down as well. A job you thought would continue for many years. A loved one whose absence leaves a great and gaping space. A cherished relationship that you never expected to lose. A way of seeing yourself that ceased to hold up at some point. Many of us look at the world itself right now, with so many good dreams trampled down, and so many voices silenced, and so many cooperative endeavors abandoned, and so much injustice and hurt and selfishness. And we find ourselves seeing stumps everywhere, reminders of what used to be alive and thriving. Isaiah's vision, and the season of Advent itself, has room for noticing those sorts of losses, those sorts of gaps in our lives. There's room for recognizing the darkness this time of year, for grieving the good that we have lost. And of course, there's room for more besides. In the days and weeks and months after the sycamore gap was cut down, people grieved, yes. And they also did something else. The Northumberland National Park Authority fenced off a large area where this tree had once stood, and they posted a sign with these exact words: "This tree stump is still alive. If we leave it alone, it might sprout new growth. Please respect the barrier." And that sign sort of gives me goosebumps, because I am no botanist, and I tend to think of stumps as dead. But the park authority knew better, and they let everybody know there is still life here. Let it be. Let's see what might yet grow. That sign's simple message feels like a miniature Advent sermon to me, because maybe this is exactly what we are supposed to be doing right now. In all those places where we see stumps in our lives and in our world, maybe we are supposed to be the people saying, hold on, don't give up. New growth is still possible. That's precisely what Isaiah was doing for his weary community, all too familiar with loss. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, he said, and a branch shall grow from its roots. Where all of you see only an old stump, God sees possibility. Where all of you see a dead end, God sees a new beginning. And maybe that's our word too. In all those places where we see stumps, from lost loves and jobs and dreams, in all those places we say, hold on. The story isn't over. Life goes on. Let's see what God might have in store. Let's see what might yet grow. We're not talking about rosy optimism here or forced cheerfulness. We are talking about the strength of hope, the conviction that even when we cannot see a way forward, that doesn't mean God is not at work. It's hard to do that all alone, which is yet one more reason that we are here together, to hope in community, to sing and pray and put up that sign for each other when we are struggling to do it ourselves. Hold on. Don't give up. New growth is still possible. The park authority put up its sign by the Sycamore Gap stump, and it waited. It waited through nearly a year with no sign of change. Months and seasons coming and going, and nothing seemed to be happening. But sure enough, they did finally appear. 8 small shoots growing from the base of this stump. They're tiny to begin with, 1.5 inches tall, which is nothing compared to a 15-meter tree, right? And they're fragile, but they're unmistakable signs that the tree is working to regenerate itself. While it certainly won't be the same, it's not finished growing. Where before there had been only a reminder of what once was, now there's the promise of what might yet be. Hold on, we say. Don't give up. New growth is still possible. We say it to our weary world this Advent, and we say it to one another, because this is who we claim God is. The God of life, the God of possibility, the God of new beginnings. This God comes to dwell with us, friends. And because that is so, we always have hope. Thanks be to God. Amen.